Okay, I'm starting off here, and I've got Mr. Kenny.
Kilkenny.
Mr. Kilkenny, that's correct.
And maybe you can just give us a little introduction from last time you decided to move to a new venue. Now you got some new things going on. What's going on, and you know what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, sure, man. So we started off just a regular street art expo. We had street artists, mural artists, and things of that nature, and they would come here. We had vendors, and we had our artist alley. We set it up somewhat like a comic book convention, but you know, in this culture. And when we started there, we did three shows at a small venue just to test the waters and see how things were gonna go. Mm-hmm. Everything went really well, so we decided to expand to a new venue, and we brought in designer toy people and the skate community. So we have a live skate show going on, skate demos, and you know, we have all sorts of cool things. We have a panel room. We're gonna be doing interviews with some different artists and different things going on in the panel room. And yeah, man, so here we are.
And you moved to a different location in Queens,
right?
That's
right, yeah. So we're in Astoria now. We started off in Elmhurst on Queens Boulevard. Right. Now we're here in Astoria. Got a 14,000 square foot movie studio. And,
right.
You know, we got three times the amount of everything we had at the last one.
Right. So is this going to be, maybe if it goes well, is this going to be your main place maybe?
Or
if
it goes
just
well,
giving it a try?
No, we'll definitely be doing it again here if everything goes well today. And we'll be doing it again. It's going to be annual now, not twice a year like it used to be.
Right.
And, you know, again, if everything goes well, like we anticipate, we'll be here again next year.
So real quick, you've got graffiti artists. You've got a couple of celebrities from movies.
Yes, yes.
You've got skateboard artists.
Yeah.
You've got a little radio show with Vandalauer, right?
Yeah, Vandalauer will be doing a panel here. They'll be doing a live on scene.
Right. What else do you have? The accessories and things that people can use to do graffiti art and do art, right?
We don't say graffiti art. Graffiti is very, very specific to one type of street art. So this is just street art in general. People do murals. People do graffiti and stuff like that. And yeah, you can get those types of products here. You can get any type of accessories that people in that culture, you know, tend to sell. Stuff like canvases, people have their own clothing lines, and they do all different types of, art on all different types of media. So so that's what we're doing here. We got designer toy people. Obviously, they have designer toys, and our skate vendors will have skate equipment, you know, and things of that nature to sell.
Right, so everything, yeah. It looks pretty good. It's just getting started. It's in the morning. I got here early because I wasn't sure how crazy it would be.
Yeah.
But it's going pretty smooth, actually.
Yeah, well, everything's set up now, and we've been open for about a half hour now, and people are starting to come through the doors, and we see some transactions being made, and that's what keeps us happy.
You're listening to the Uncommon Core podcast with your host, Thomas Howell.
So tell me, I was over here looking at... Well, actually, you're in the corner. That's one reason I decided to come with you. But you also have some really nice illustrations. And this is like a, what is it? How would you describe your illustrations?
Sort of spontaneous, cartoony, doodly art.
They kind of look like Escher cartoons of some sort.
I like that. Yeah. I use a lot of confusion between the space. So like, for example, over here, you see the edge. Is it part of the face or is it part of the outside space? Anyway, Keith Haring and Escher. And
right, Keith Haring. I see the Keith Haring
Keith
in there.
Haring.
So what is your name? This says Fluid Tunes.
Yes.
By Brett W. Thompson.
Yes,
is that you?
Exactly. Yep, that's me. Fluid Tunes is my art.
And what do you do? You have these for sale at the Street Art Expo as little posters, sort of.
Yes.
Or placemats or other posters, right?
Yeah. Prints, posters.
And so do you sell this online? I mean, how do you make a living with this?
I get commissions to do murals sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I sell originals in galleries. The prints that I have here are actually kind of a new thing for me. I need to add them to my online store.
Yeah.
And get those moving.
The t-shirts look pretty cool. You've got a great t-shirt looking there.
Thank you.
So, I mean, it's just, but it seems to me that this can go big, that this would look great on a wall or something like that.
Yes, I love doing big.
Right.
Big pieces. I have some big pieces that I have to hire movers to move for me because I can't do it myself.
Oh, really? And they're beginning to really set up now, but it's black and white mostly, but you have one color one in the middle. What do you prefer? You prefer the black and white? Is that your main thing?
Yeah, I sort of think in lines, and I'm not very good with color.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I sort of use the color just for emphasis.
I like the black and white is great.
I mean,
very, very high tech. How long have you been doing this?
I started drawing when I was just a little kid, you know.
Okay, and you're in the crib, right?
Yeah, well, and I kept doing it. I'm really glad I stuck with it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad my teachers let me doodle in class, you know.
Teachers, so did you go to art school, or what did you do?
No, I didn't. I studied psychology and computer science.
Oh. And so do you still do that on the side?
I do at the moment. I had a time where I was just doing art, and that was amazing. That's what I really want to do, you know. But I do still do some freelance until these prints start flying
Pick
off the
up.
Shelves.
Yeah. So your idea is to transition over into full-time artist.
Exactly.
Like probably a lot of people. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a taste of it for a couple months, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, well, this looks really cool.
Thank you.
If anybody is in the market for it. Okay, so your website is www.fluidtoons.com, fluidtoons.com.
That's it.
And you have...
also on Instagram, Fluidtoons.
That's your Instagram, right? Okay, great. So there you go. Anything else coming up that you'd like to mention? Last thing?
Oh, yeah. We've got Body Painting Day in Washington Square Park. I think it's July 14th. So I've been doing that a few times. And
Body Painting Day.
It's quite a thing because all these nude people are there and we paint on them. And it's
out in public.
Yeah, out in public.
And this is after July. Do you have a schedule for that?
Oh, after July?
Yeah.
I don't have anything set in stone for after July, but I do a lot of live art
gigs. Calendar on your website for the things you're doing, events, little button or something?
Oh, yeah. I do post stuff to Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So
the
you can
Facebook
find me on
thing.
There.
Yeah, we'll hook you up to the Facebook on the blog.
Thank you.
Well, it was great talking to you.
You too.
And your stuff
really
looks great.
It.
And good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay, got a second? Okay, so... I'm looking here at everybody, and how would you describe your art? This is a Topaz is your name, and what's this character? Is that character Topaz? Or is that you, Topaz?
It's a little of both, but yeah, that's my traditional b-boy style character that I normally do. As you can see, I have the stickers here also, a bunch of, I just do them in different forms. And
yeah, so you've got one character that you stick with, and then you have other characters as well?
Yeah, I do all types of different characters. I mean, these two canvases here, you can see the complete different styles.
Right.
But this is like my main logo sort of guy, so to say, you know?
Right. So do you use, what kind of material do you use? What would you call this? This is not spray can, is it?
No, that's acrylic and paint marker.
And paint marker, okay.
Yes.
And do you normally put those on buildings or on canvas? How do you normally do them?
I normally do that on canvas. When I paint outdoors on walls, I use strictly spray paint.
Okay. So you started as a spray paint artist? Is that how you started?
I've always been an artist, but yeah, I started early with the spray paint as well in my early teens.
Okay.
But I do all types of art, comic book art.
From New York City?
Yes, Queens, New York. Born and raised, yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So, what are you doing now? You have you're selling on a website, and you're also selling the canvases, and you're doing graffiti on walls on hire? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, I do commission walls for hire, but we also do, permission walls for fun.
Right.
If they let us do what we want to do on the wall, we do the wall however we want. If they want us to do, if a company wants us to do their logo or something for them related to their business, we charge a fee.
Right. So do you see a wall and then approach a person who owns a wall, or do people at this point come up to you and say, I want my wall done?
A little of both, but...
Oh, both?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that go out scouting for stuff, and...
Okay.
It's just a lot of word of mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just come across the wall and say, hey, that would be a great spot? Is that how it works?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it varies. It depends on the area and the neighborhood. Some neighborhoods just, they don't want it at all.
Right.
So, Bushwick and Williamsburg's quite popular now. The Bronx has always been good. So certain areas like that, they're more receptive.
Okay.
Long Island City, of course. I was a part of Five Points as well.
Right. So is it expanding, though, beyond that, or is it pretty much sticking with those areas?
I think it's expanding.
It's expanding a little bit?
Yeah, but I think the bubble will eventually burst.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, it could go anywhere.
Well, it's like, look at what happened in the Five Points neighborhood. You know, when we started Five Points in 2002, it was pretty run down.
Yeah.
We kind of helped bring the property value of the neighborhood up, and then they kicked us out.
Right. So, well, they got that. They also have in Brooklyn the Domino's sugar thing going on. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of collectives now all over the place.
And so they don't want you guys around anymore.
Well, Five Points tore down the actual building and put up condos.
Right.
So the neighborhood is turning around. It's becoming more trendy, and there's less art, or less of our style art. I guess more. More commercial art now, street art sort of.
Right. Yeah, well, that's too bad that they don't integrate what was there before. I mean, you'd think they would if they were sensitive to the neighborhood.
Yeah, but what I think it is that a lot of the natives are moving out and a lot of implants are coming in. So I think that has something to do with it
also. Yeah.
You know, the natives, they appreciate the cultural aspect of what we do. You know, if just people that grew up in New York and seeing the graffiti on trains and stuff.
Right.
They have a different appreciation for it.
Yeah, than the new people. Well, I appreciate you talking to me.
Thank you.
Where can people listening get your art? So you have a website?
I am on Instagram.
Okay.
At Pazroc, PAZROC.
Okay.
And you can find some of my work on indicutny.com. That's IndakutNY.com.
Your name is Clint? Oh, that's your artwork.
That's my name. That's my name. Thank you very much.
Okay. So tell us a little bit of history. I hear that you've been around a long time, influenced a lot of people, and you're like one of the main guys, right?
Well, yes. I mean, that's because I was one of the first guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually
started
writing in 1966. I was 9 years old.
What were you doing at 9 years old? Doing art or doing graffiti?
I was doing graffiti. I was also taking pictures. I was a photographer back then, too.
Oh, okay.
So,
wow. What were you taking pictures of? Oh, I could see that up here, right?
Basically, what you do is you don't have to travel the world to find good images, and I sort of proved that.
Right.
So you make your life interesting, and you photograph your friends and your world. And if you use your eyes, you could come away with some great images.
Right, yeah. So here you have things that are boxed, and you have your name, Flint, over the top, superimposed sort of over the top of some other background artwork. So what's your philosophy behind it?
Well, basically, I like to be creative, so I'm always evolving. I also make music. I was not a natural musician. I actually had no rhythm at all, but by keeping at things, now I could write songs and actually sing.
Oh,
but
okay.
I do get tomatoes thrown at me, but that doesn't stop me.
Okay, well, you're on stage then, at least.
we like to have fun. We like to be creative.
Right. And you have a wide variety of things here in your little booth. What are these called again when you have the
Shadow boxes.
Shadow boxes, okay. And you have like a little teddy bear inside a subway station here.
And those are original photographs behind them.
Oh, okay. So those are your photos. Okay. And you've got this old style... To follow your heart to lead you to the right place is written on a old style. What is that? Like an old window?
It's like a cabinet door.
Cabinet door.
That's from the 70s.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So you're adopting all different kinds of styles, and you have. So you use acrylic, and you use spray cans, and what other kinds of things do you use?
A lot of markers. Markers is good. Spray paint. Photographs. This is a mixed media.
Right.
The photograph actually slipped in the frame when it was hanging at a gallery.
Oh.
And the curator called me, so I had to take it home. And I left it where it slipped, and I drew all around it.
Oh,
and then I had to return it to the gallery.
Wow, that's cool. So are you in galleries in New York and other places?
Yeah, I've been around the world. I've been in Paris, the Cartier Museum show.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. And been invited to different countries. Yep.
Yeah. Do you prefer to sell art out of studios, or how do you usually sell your art?
Well, I don't really care how I sell it, as long as I sell it.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as one would think, but Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways.
Right. You still get commissions sometimes to do walls and things
I still do murals. I still do walls. Yep.
What about subway trains? Do you go out in the middle of the night and paint subway trains
now? Well, when we went to London, we actually, the group of us did go out to hit a train. We were doing a show exhibit there, too. And then, you know, that's what happens when you get a lot of graffiti artists together.
So kind of like an unannounced demonstration.
There you go. I like the way you put it.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so is it spreading in London? Is it spreading since you travel and you've been around other galleries?
It's taken over the world. It's amazing. Yeah. I had no idea. I actually was out of it for a couple of decades.
Uh-huh.
And then Hugo Martinez, he's a curator. He started United Graffiti Artists.
Right.
And he found me working at B&H Photo, and I had my name in the back of me. That was 1998. And then he just had a new gallery, so he put me in there.
Yeah.
And then after that, I met all the guys I didn't see for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then I got to see what's happening with the world, and I had no clue because I was doing photography.
Right.
Totally different, nothing to do with graffiti.
Yeah.
So I got from 66 to 76, I was writing. After that, I stopped to make a living. I got married and did photography, and now I'm back into graffiti.
And from your travels, would you say, what's the other... New York is, I suppose, where it started, as far as we know.
Yeah.
What's the next two or three big cities for graffiti art? Would you say?
Let's say Paris was phenomenal, and they had the best graffiti museum show I've ever seen.
It
took over the whole building.
Really?
It was wonderful, and it got a lot of press, and they put out a book to it. And then other museums, the Museum of Modern Art in California, Los Angeles, they copied that show, in my opinion.
Right.
It looks very similar, so a lot of people copy that show.
Right. Yeah, so Paris. Okay.
Well, Amsterdam is great.
Amsterdam?
London was phenomenal. It's all great. It's all good. Italy.
So it's still alive.
Yeah. Alive. I think it's alive and kicking.
And kicking, growing. Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot. And what's your website? How do people get hold of you to see your work?
Sure. Flint, FLINT, DOT, DOT, .com.
Dimensions that are little monsters, and then you have a name. What's the name? I can't read the name.
The truck is an all-city train. It's Jays and Neo.
Jays?
Yeah, Jays and Neo.
Oh, I see. Jays and Neo.
Yeah, J-A-Z-E and Neo.
Okay, and you have...
it's all Japanese designer vinyl, which is like kaiju, is like the kind of form of toys they are. But it's Japanese soft vinyl and soft vinyl like Sofubi. That's what it's called.
And it looks like it's different material, but it's all the same, everything's all the same material?
No, everything's not the same. So the stuff from China is soft vinyl. So like, this is resin also. But stuff like this, right here, this is all from China. So it's soft vinyl, so the material's like more like a rubbery material.
Right.
And then this is like more of a harder plastic.
Okay.
And then you can see this is like...
Yeah, it's like a little,
guys.
It looks like a gummy bear.
Right, right.
Correct. And then you have these other ones on the trucks.
These are resin toys.
Resin.
Correct.
And they're all monsters. Do you have a story or a theme behind everything?
They all have their own story. They're all hand sculpted and all hand painted by the actual artist. So like everything is individually hand painted.
Right.
And done.
Well, they look that way. Is there like, are these all in the same world and all the same universe, these creatures?
No, probably not. Everything's created from everybody's own minds and whatever.
So they're different artists displayed here?
Correct.
Oh, I see. So you're the person that sells them all.
Yep. A lot of the artists are like in Korea, China, Japan, so they can't make it to events in America, so I pretty much give them exposure here in America.
Oh, I see. So you're a dealer. And where's, you have an online web?
I do.
Oh, what's your website?
Blacklisttoys.com.
BlacklistToys.com?
Correct.
Just like you would think. Yep. Let me take a card from you. What's popular these days? You also have pictures. What's popular? What's like anything that's like really, really hot these days?
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever floats somebody's boat, you know? Everybody has their own thing, you know?
How did you get into this?
Collecting.
Oh, so you're a collector?
Correct. Okay.
Do you have a physical store also?
No, I do not. We just launched my actual business October the 13th.
Oh, okay.
Of 2017.
Okay. And you keep all of these guys in stock and then you sell it all over the world? Or just
a lot of them are all like, some of them are one-of-a-kind pieces. So
okay.
If the artist sends me the piece for the show, I'll take it for the show. And then after the show's over, I'll ship it back to the artist.
Oh, I see.
Like whatever doesn't sell.
Right. But you have pictures on the website of everything, and then you get it from the artist and send it to the buyer?
No. Pretty much everything is like conventions and shows. Pretty much I do like, my whole concept of my company is doing like pop-up events. So like curating like gallery shows.
Oh, I see. So you get the products and then try to sell them, and if they don't sell, you send them back.
Correct.
So you don't like ship them anywhere or anything like that yet.
Well, after the show, sometimes I put them up online.
Right.
After the shows.
Right.
For people who can't attend the show, for a chance to buy it.
Right, before you send them back.
Before I send them back, right.
Oh, okay. And how often do you turn them around? I mean, when's your next show for people listening? You have a schedule?
No, right now we're trying to get into Decon, which is in
Decon.
LA.
Right, okay.
Or
yeah, well, it looks interesting. Maybe those, Comic-Con kind of things?
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, what's your name again?
Mike.
Mike?
Yep.
Well, it was nice talking to you. Good luck with it. It's an interesting idea. Looks like the Fat Albert crew, kind of. I thought I had something like that from before.
Well, I'm a self-taught artist. A lot of my characters, they say they look like me. You know, I do to some of the guys that cartoons that people are familiar with also.
Yeah.
It's just all, you know, I'd rather just go free and do my own thing and my own characters, but sometimes you have to, you know, you have to show that you can do that kind of art, too.
Yeah, you have mostly T-shirts here. Is that what mostly you do is T-shirts and hats?
I do T-shirts and hats. I do stickers. I do canvases. Here and there, I do hoodies. I have bags for the ladies, tote bags.
Oh, right.
I do hand-drawn stickers, post office stickers.
What are the names here again?
Well, my name is A-Crime, and it stands for always creating raw images most effectively.
Oh, okay, that's cool. So, how many different characters do you have in your pictures, in your art?
I probably have about three main characters. These two here, like this one here, I really don't have names for them, but mostly, like I said, they're just a reflection of me.
Why don't you have names for them? You just decide to leave it kind of open?
I leave it open. I just call this guy the Blue Alien.
Right.
And these are mostly like me. These characters are like mostly me. And like maybe in my youth stage, a lot of these wears that you see on my characters, I probably have worn this time to time. I wear this Fantastic Four hat all the time. So when people see me, they say, oh, all right, I know who that guy is.
Right. So you've been in New York the whole time?
I've been in New York the whole time, all my life.
So you grew up doing graffiti artists from a young age?
I grew up doing graffiti at a young age. Started maybe in like, I say about 82 to about 85, 86. I had stopped, but I wasn't like I was mostly a tagger. I wasn't doing the pieces and stuff like that on the train. I was mostly doing like the insides.
When did you change? Okay, because you have a lot of lettering on here, so that's probably from your tagging background.
Right, but I learned from a lot of and just watching a lot of the old artists like Scheme, who is also, he's like a mentor to me, so he gets on me all the time now. We're grown men, but I knew Scheme before he was Scheme.
Yeah.
And he just gets on to me about just draw every day and, you know, just hone your craft, you know? That's your talent.
Right.
Just keep going. I also work in a museum, so I get a lot of inspiration with that, too.
At what point did you switch from, a tagger to something a little more than that?
Images. I always did it in my books. I never did anything big as far as I would just do like throwies, which we call just like a regular throw up piece. Right. It's no real thought to it. You just go in and do it. They also call it like bubble letters.
Right. Okay, right.
So I never did like burners back in the day, so you won't see no old pictures of me with burners and stuff like that, but I always could do it in the books. But as I gotten older and you have these places that's authorized and stuff like that, I go out from time to time and just to prove to myself that I can do the stuff that I draw in my books, because some people can't actually paint it. They can draw it in their books.
Right,
it's a difference.
Okay, so you're evolving still.
Yes.
And how's it going? How's the business? I mean, are you, not that the business is the main thing, but are you doing okay? You've been able to make a little living, sort of, on the side, at least, off
of
doing it
now? Well, this is like a little side hustle for me.
Yeah.
I have a 9-to-5 regular job.
Right.
But I would always wear my stuff myself. I would never share it with the world, as far as, like, I would want to be the only person wearing my work.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's time, and it's not for the money. It's just the enjoyment of other people enjoying my art and want to, you know, support.
So if somebody wants to check out what you're doing, do you have a website?
I'm on Instagram at acrime145er.
So spell that out one more time.
That's ACRIME 145ER, acrime145er, which is the street number where I'm from.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. So Instagram's it, though? No Facebook, nothing like that?
No, just Instagram.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for talking
to
me and encouragement, you know. Stay out there and keep going. Looks good.
You're listening to the Uncommon Core podcast. If you'd like to help, you can do it directly by being a patron at www.patreon.com/UCC podcast. That's patreon.com/UCC podcast. Or you can buy some merchandise at hugthepug.com. That's www.hugthepug.com. Alternatively, you can advertise at advertisecast.com/1306. That's advertisecast.com/1306. If you missed any of that, you can find it on our webpage at www.uncommoncorepodcast.com or www.uccpodcast.com. Don't forget our YouTube channel at uncommoncorevideo.com, where you can see playlists from the people we interviewed in each episode. I assume, since you are drawing there, you're the artist. Okay, so this is a bulldog on a cap, and a bulldog everywhere. What do you have? Who are you, and what are you doing?
My name is Steven Cartocchio, and I'm with Concrete Jungle, kind of the brand. It came from an animated series that I did. You can see the two characters back here on the banner.
Oh, Concrete Jungle was an animated, what was it, a movie?
A web series.
A web series.
It became from my student film at School of Visual Arts in the city.
Uh-huh.
And then I kind of branded it out and did some toys. These are kind of parodies of Marvel characters. I have statues over here that are collaborations with rap artists, Czarface, Kool Keith, and I did one with Run the Jewels as well.
They look pretty high quality. How do you have that done?
It's resin cast, so everything is sculpted in ZBrush, 3D printed. And then copies are made through silicone molds and resin.
So are you into this, or you send it out to have it
These
done?
Are sent out. I do the digital sculpt, I paint it digitally, and then I make paint guides so that they can follow them, and everything is done the highest quality. The packaging is all high quality, and everything's been runs of 100.
Well, it looks pretty good. So what else do you sell? Do you have a coloring book?
No. Right now, I'm just selling sketches, hats, and then a couple of these statues right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew you did. I didn't think you'd have a coloring book. It just popped in my mind.
People are doing coloring books now, so that's a big thing.
Maybe it's a good idea. Yeah. So this stuff back here, do you have the... If somebody wanted to see your movie, where would they go?
ConcreteJungleStudio.com.
ConcreteJungleStudio.com?
Yes.
Okay. And can they get it? Can they buy a DVD or
Right now it's just YouTube and just watch it online. I'm trying to pitch it as a bigger thing to networks right now. But right now there's only 3 episodes done.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes each.
Yeah, I guess when they got rid of VHS and DVD, people kind of lost a way of selling.
Yeah, people don't collect
movies
anymore. But I have some big people on the show. I have John DiMaggio from Adventure Time and Futurama.
Okay.
Hannibal Buress was on it. I have a bunch of rappers.
So you got a little show that go on.
Yeah. It's been okay.
Oh, a little video YouTube show.
Yeah, Eugene Merman from Bob's Burgers is on as well.
And that's your okay. So that's the Concrete Jungle.
Correct.
Now, what's the YouTube channel? Is it the same or?
It's S Cartocchio. So my last name, first initial.
Spell it out one more time.
S C A R T O C C I O, and you can find me on Instagram at Scartocchio.
You've been listening to the Uncommon Core podcast with Thomas Howell. I'm Satoko Smith. Thank you for listening.